everyone. My name is Anna Lomprey, and this is Jules O'Neill, and we are the Wayfinders for the Cornwall Memory Cafe Network. Good morning, everybody. It is wonderful, a gorgeous spring morning, and we have Sarah Arundel and Caroline Ellis, the amazing, awesome, incredible Admiral nurses, and it's been we've had to pin you down because you're very busy out there in Cornwall doing amazing work, and we're here today as part of the Cornwall Memory Cafe Network. I'm a Wayfinder, Anna Lomprey, to interview these two wonderful women about the Admiral Nurses and what their charity is all about. So thank you so much for your time. And I'm going to first of all ask you both to introduce yourselves, if that's okay.
Yeah, of course. So my name's Caroline Ellis, and I am the strategic lead or the team manager of the Admiral Nurse Service in Cornwall.
Lovely. Thank you.
And I'm Sarah Arundel, Admiral Nurse. I predominantly cover the east and north of Cornwall, but also cover the whole of Cornwall. So I've got quite a lot of families that I'm supporting, both central and west Cornwall as well.
Wow. Hello. Thank you.
I should actually mention that we actually do have a team of Admiral nurses. So we've got Sarah, Hayley and Helen. Hayley and Helen are not joining us today, but they are part of our team. And we also have an assistant practitioner, Demelza, who is also fantastic and unfortunately can't be here today. But we are quite a small team. So it's myself, the three nurses and Demelza.
So there's five of you in all that support the whole of Cornwall.
That's right.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. And so for people that have never heard of the Admiral Nurses or have heard of them but don't fully know what you're about, can you tell us about the charity and how it started?
Yes, absolutely. So Admiral Nurses was actually founded, the whole idea of Admiral Nursing was founded by two sisters who used to look after their father, who had vascular dementia, and he was known as Joseph. His name was Joseph Levy, and he was fondly known as Admiral Joe because he loved sailing. Anyway, when the sisters were looking after their dad, they noticed that there wasn't much support for the carers who they were looking after their dad, not much sort of guidance, someone for them to talk to provide emotional support, someone to be a link to them. So sadly, when their father died, they had a thought about what was the best thing to do, because they wanted to make sure that carers and families had the support that they didn't. So they founded Dementia UK, which is the charity, and the name Admiral Nurses after their father's nickname, Admiral Joe. And that's what Admiral Nursing is all about. So we are specialist dementia nurses who specialise in supporting the families, the carers, to provide advice, guidance, support, counselling, family therapy. I mean, our roles are so diverse, to be honest.
Wow.
And it's very person-centred. So whatever the carer or the family person is wanting to talk about, then we will hopefully do that and help them. So
thank
that's a little bit of history. There's a bit of history.
That's
I
amazing.
Love that story, actually.
Yeah.
I really do. Understanding where the name Admiral came from and Admiral Nursing.
Comes from.
Yeah.
Amazing. And are the Admiral Nurses, so they're connected to Dementia UK, are they across the UK?
So there are about 400, and it does change the numbers exactly, but around 400 nationally, and there are Admiral Nurses all in all different sort of areas of care settings. So there are Admiral nurses in sort of care home environments, in the community, in the acute hospitals, you know, so it's quite wide, in hospices as well. And this is where I'm really delighted to be here today, actually, to talk to you a bit more about our service, because we are quite unique in how we work, and how we support carers and families in Cornwall. But yes, so it is a national, and so Dementia UK will work very closely with hosts, and our host in Cornwall is Royal RCHT, Royal Cornwall Hospital NHS Trust, and that is who we are employed by. So in Cornwall we're employed by RCHT, Royal Cornwall Hospital NHS Trust, but work in partnership with Dementia UK.
Wow. And what's beautiful about it, as far as I understand, is that you're all qualified, trained, very experienced nurses in your own right as well.
Yes, absolutely. So Admiral Nursing is taken very seriously, and Dementia UK wanted to make sure that the Admiral Nurses have had a good experience, have worked in other areas, particularly in dementia care previously, and have a wide knowledge of how to support people living with dementia and understanding the complexities of that, but also how best to, with that knowledge, how to get the best support for the carers. So actually, we all do have induction training through Dementia UK, how to become a specialist Admiral Nurse. So every Admiral Nurse goes through that training. And so it's all very standardised, and it's all very highly sort of focused on the sort of needs for the carers and the families. And normally I've worked in other fields for 5 years plus with that experience. And actually all Admiral Nurses start as sort of a senior level, so a band six expertise. Yes.
That's amazing. Amazing. And so how have you, like, maybe tell us a little bit about both of you. It'd be lovely to hear about your personal experience of working as an Admiral Nurse, and how you have come into the role, and how you feel about this work. Maybe that, I think that'd be lovely to hear.
Yeah, shall I just go first, Sarah? I'm sorry, doing quite a lot of talking here, Sarah.
No, you carry on. you're in the zone, so you carry on.
What I'd like to do, if it's okay, just explain a bit about the history of how Admiral Nursing, since I've been involved, and how it all started in Cornwall. So it was about 5 years ago when I first started in Cornwall working as an Admiral Nurse. And it was then working in the acute hospital setting. So I was there to support families and carers when they came into the Trelisk Hospital or the hospital at St Michael's in Hale or West Cornwall Hospital in Penzance. And that was my role. It's really about being on the wards, sort of identifying when carers were there and needed that support during discharges that were happening, and to make sure that they knew what sort of support was available in the community. This was going quite well. I had to start off, and nobody really knew about Admiral Nursing, and it took a while really for me to sort of establish myself and the role within the sort of healthcare settings, to understand and sort of educate and support the teams and the nursing teams to think about the families and the carers who also do need that time. They need that support. They need information to understand what resources are out there, who they can go to if things change, you know, that sort of work. So I was doing this for a few years, maybe just less than 2 years, actually. And then we had the pandemic. So as we all know, it was a really difficult time, and especially for people living with dementia and their families, with all the usual sort of respite options that were there or stopping. People were in their own homes caring in the most difficult period of time with no other support, very minimized support of normal respite sort of, you know, options that they had. So I had to think about at that time how I was going to adapt and evolve and try to get the best care for the carers still, because actually they weren't coming into the hospitals. The families weren't allowed to come into the hospitals and visit or be involved. So at that point, I actually adapted with support of supporting the carers and families when they lived in their own homes. So I outreached more. I decided I had to be more integrated. So that's at that point, I said, right, we've got to support families when they live in their own homes, also if they are admitted to any community hospitals, but also if they are ever in the acute hospital setting. But that, and I decided to do that, and it was just myself at this time, no team. And so I did this by becoming telephone liaison support. And then it worked really well, and it was brilliant because it was more engaging and it helped the continuity of care and support. And and with the transition of care, that was supported, you know, for with the family carer following their story. Anyway, cuts a very long story short, because actually I know I could probably take up all this time, and I really would like
That's amazing.
Then we then got a team started, and they actually started in March last year of actually clinical work starting. And that is then with the three nurses who helped to join me and the assistant practitioner. And that is where we're all at. And we actually still use the same care pathway idea of being integrated. So we still do, because it works so well, of supporting the whole of Cornwall, not just the acute hospital setting. We sort of help support families in any care setting. So really, if they live in their own homes, community hospitals, acute hospitals, but also the transition, the initial transition into any care home, we're there for families. So that's a little bit of story of how it all started over the last 5 years.
Thank you, Caroline. It's brilliant. And what a growing, amazing growing offering that you're bringing, and so needed, so needed. Yeah, thank you. So, and Sarah, do you want to share how you've got involved in this?
Absolutely. So just a bit of my background. So I've been a registered mental health nurse since 2001. Did 4 years working in acute psychiatric services or acute inpatient services at Bodmin Hospital, which was gave me a fantastic foundation. Never regret or, you know, learned so much from that process. And then I took a leap of faith and left the NHS to go and work in the independent sector. So working in nursing homes, care homes, doing my degree, leadership degree. And wanted to build up an understanding of the troubles that the independent sector face in delivering dementia care. And then I was writing in my degree about this difficulties between primary and secondary care service, whereas dementia is concerned. And then all of a sudden, this new role called primary care dementia practitioners came about in, I think, 2012. So I ended up being recruited as one of the first initial primary care dementia practitioners all those years ago. Really loved the job. And then I think about a year into that, I then was looking at how services were sort of changing and evolving. And then I went and spent best part of 10 years working in memory assessment services. So that again gave me a fantastic foundation for assessing, diagnosing, looking at all the differential diagnosis, subtypes of dementia. Learned a huge amount through that role.
I bet.
Always aspired to be an Admiral nurse. It's something that I've always wanted to do, and there was, you know, no other role I could consider leaving my previous job for. So I've now been in this role for close to 18 months, not quite 18 months, but getting there, and it's just one of the most rewarding jobs you could ever wish to have. It's an absolute privilege to support the families that we engage in. So yeah, it's really being able to make a difference to the lives of carers and families, looking after somebody with a dementia, and using all of my previous experience and wealth, and being able to sort of upskill the carers to carry on caring in their role. So yeah.
Oh, that's impressive. So it really does sound like you are the creme de la creme when it comes to the expertise, the lived experience, all that weight of experience that you've both got, that you're bringing. And we need to make sure that everybody out there knows about the Admiral Nurses. So another question then, that's brilliant. Another question that's coming to mind is then, how do people find you if they're not in an acute ward, if they're not coming in and out of respite or something? How do they access you? How can people find you?
Well, I can give them our email address and you can email us. You can actually talk to their GP and a GP can make referrals. You can talk to a nurse and anyone can make a referral to us. Actually, interestingly, last month we had over 16 sources of how we had people refer to us. So we've different people. So, but the main route is probably to email or telephone. And we actually, of course, we work so closely with Dementia UK. They also do have the helpline telephone number for advice or support. And they do also sometimes refer those calls to us as well. Right. Interestingly, we are having an increase of self-referrals. So this is great, because this means that people are recognizing, who are looking after their loved ones with dementia, that they do need to talk about it. I think there's always been a history, isn't there, that an old sort of myth that, you know, if you are a carer and looking after someone, however tough it can get, you just got to deal with it, and that's definitely just the way it is. You know, it doesn't matter what's going on, that's part of you, and that's just the way life is.
But absolutely.
What is wonderful now is that families and carers are recognising that talking to someone about the difficulties, the stress, the feelings of isolation that can happen when you're caring and looking after someone, the feelings of guilt, it is okay to say, do you know what, I want to talk to someone, a specialist nurse, about that. One of the things that we always say as a team, that when we first talk to the carers and the families, one of the first questions we actually ask them is, how are you? And it's incredible how families are literally taken aback by that, because their focus is always on the person that they are looking after, which is absolutely right as well, but no one really asks about how they are. You know, and it's incredible what emotions come out with that. But what I will do, while Sarah carries on, if she wants in a minute, I will make sure that I've got the right telephone number and the email address, and I'll just give a little script of how to make a referral to our team.
That would be amazing. Yeah, I was just going to say, a lot of the time you've got older people looking after older people as well, which I think is miraculous. Sometimes is husbands or wives or partners looking after, and just the responsibility and the weight of that is so much. And I also think the older generations especially seem to sort of feel like you were saying, Caroline, it's like, well, this is my, you know, this is my responsibility to care, and it's, I shouldn't show that I'm struggling.
Yeah.
So
That's why also, Anna, we make ourselves as accessible to families as is possible. So our referral criteria is very minimal, really. So we only have that the person that is being cared for has a dementia diagnosis, a formal diagnosis, right. And okay. The carer consents. If it's another healthcare professional making the referral, that the carer consents. Obviously, it's a self-referral, then they are consenting via that means. So, we try to make ourselves as easy to access.
Amazing. Absolutely. That's interesting about the diagnosis. So if you had somebody contacting you that hadn't got a diagnosis, I would imagine then you would support them and guide them to back to their GP, would you? Yeah, to say just, this is the path where you probably do need to get a diagnosis.
We get, you know, a few occasions where the carers have made contact as a self-referral, and, you know, through sort of different investigations, we found out that there isn't actually a formal dementia diagnosis. But then either liaise with the GP directly in terms of making a referral to the memory assessment service or navigating that for the carer, or telling them what needs to happen next to get a formal diagnosis.
That sounds brilliant. So anything else before I ask my next question? We was anything on the tip of your brain that you wanted to say?
Go on, Sarah.
I'm just going to say what I think is fabulous about this is that we are an integrated service. So we have direct accessibility to linking and liaising really closely with the safeguarding team, learning disability team, lots of different other, you know, professionalism. So it's great being able to tap. I've had to use the homeless officer before, RCHT. Wow. So being able to have accessibility to other sources of support for families is really invaluable.
It really is, because I think a lot of the time people in the experience, living with the experience of either being a carer or living with dementia, sometimes you can be reaching out to certain services and nothing seems to be happening. And it's really only when it gets to crisis point, or if you've got a professional that already has the networking, the connections and knows how to make things happen. That's what it sounds like you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's really difficult for families to actually navigate themselves around the health and social care system. I mean, this is where we can be a really useful link, because we do know where to go at the time. We do know which teams support each other and what is the relevant team that needs to be put into place for whatever their problem is at that time. But yeah, I mean, we are there for, you know, our roles are diverse. You know, obviously we can support any best interest meetings that if we're involved with the family in any hospital environment, we can, you know, we provide help and support in sort of family dynamics and discussions. We provide sort of counselling and psychological support for the family. So in relation to feelings of guilt or immense stress, or if they've got previous difficulty in the relationship that the person they're caring for, then we can help and support and talk that through. There's so many aspects of how we support the families, and what we try to have with the families is a structure. It's all very person-centered, but it has a structure. So all our care and support is meaningful, because actually, ultimately, we're here to provide that support, but we're actually there to sort of promote that independence and promote the tools in the box, so to speak, is full, so that if things deteriorate in the future, they then know how best to manage those. There's a lot of lots of referrals that have come in recently following quite a new diagnosis of dementia, and you know, what does that mean, how will that impact their lifestyles, and it's also reassurance, because actually everyone can live well with dementia, and about talking it in a positive light and making sure that dementia is spoken about and is not such a taboo. It is okay, you know, there are loads of resources out there As we all know, we're part of the Dementia Partnership Board, and we do know that there are so many services out there now who are, we are in Cornwall, we are, you know, team dementia and trying to get the best support for everybody out there. And that's part of our ethos of Admiral Nursing as well, is really linking in with everybody and making sure that we're all trying our best to get the best, you know, outcome for their situation.
One of the other things I absolutely love about this job is that a lot of our work is remote liaison. So, you know, telephone support most of the time. But one of the things I absolutely love is the supporting ahead programme events that we host. So we might have been supporting people for a couple of months or so, and then we invite them to the supporting ahead programme event where they get to meet us face to face, and we get to meet them face to face. So which is a really, you know, good opportunity.
Wow. Can you say more on that? Is it supporting head?
Supporting ahead. So
supporting ahead. Tell me more about this. I haven't heard about this.
This is Caroline's baby, so I'll let her tell you more about this.
Well, no, I don't. If well, I'll start. You can finish there.
Okay.
So the supporting ahead program. The whole idea about that was, is trying to help families identify what services and organisations are available in Cornwall, but by getting us all in one room. So families are invited to attend a Supporting Ahead programme where I invite as many organisations and services that I can think of and who are available to also be there. So we as professionals or services, we all stand up in front of everybody and we introduce ourselves and we explain who we are, what our service is, and how we can help. And we do that one by one. And it can be a little bit over sort of bearing really at sometimes, because there's so many of us that it can be a little bit confusing. So to help with that, we then have a mingling session. So every service and organisation there has their own table and stand with displays, leaflets, and actually can actually take referrals there and then. So what I describe as a holistic referral access point. And it's amazing. In fact, the last one we went to, we were at Mara Zion and we had a really lovely, great turnout. And then in the middle of introductions, there was suddenly this loud beeping noise. And we all looked outside the window and thought, oh, what's going on? And we found a massive fire engine turning up. the fire service team came out and they were actually there as well to introduce themselves and how they also help and support people living with dementia and what their roles are. So it's really diverse how many services are there.
Yeah. So you're running those. It's not a static thing. You're running those all across Cornwall. Yeah. So once you've got you can see a certain amount of people in an area, you're like, right, let's get all of these now into a physical space where they can also ask questions and I love that terminology about holistic. Can you say that again?
So it's a holistic referral access point.
Love it.
Yeah, holistic. So and that's exactly what it is. It's all about all the sort of needs of the family, and we are there to try and help them with all the different services there. And it's so nice. It works in both ways, because it helps for us as professionals to all understand what we all do and understand our roles.
Yes.
But also it really helps the carers and families to see the face behind the name, because sometimes if you say like Dementia UK or Admiral Nursing, you're not quite sure if that's for you or who we are, or is it, it's quite a daunting concept to actually make that initial contact. So
absolutely,
this is all about us trying to say that we are friendly faces behind the name and we're willing to help and try and get the best for you.
It's so amazing, because what I'm thinking as well is a lot of the time, if you can then the people that are coming for that support, you might see, oh, there's a loophole here, or there's a, you know, there's a need here. Where will that person best be, that need be met and served?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a real lovely buzz, isn't it, Sarah?
Yeah, and the feedback, I mean, we do surveys, and the feedback that we get, I mean, it's evident the feedback is sort of direct, because carers, as they're leaving, are saying, we didn't realise there was so much available to us in Cornwall, the resources and, you know, the networking and the levels of support. They can actually feel quite overwhelmed at the end of it, realising what is available to them. So, yes. Yeah, it's fantastic. Yes.
And so if I bumped into somebody at a memory cafe, could I then say, contact you and say, I think these people would really benefit from coming for one of those events to,
I think we've got, yes, absolutely. I think we've got roughly about somewhere close to 100 carers to invite to the next one.
Wow. And where is the next one?
It's at Carnan Downs.
Amazing. Oh, that sounds so good. All right, so then I've got another question. In your experience, what would help a carer when things do start to escalate and become really challenging? What do you feel would be the next steps for a carer? So they're out there, they're feeling really overwhelmed, things have escalated, they're really challenged. What would you suggest would be the best steps? I mean, I think I know the answer, but
I'm going to be a bit biased and say get in contact with the Admiral Nurse Service.
Yeah.
We can start to navigate everything for them. It's a really quite a drilling down into quite an in-depth triaging process with the families to get an understanding from their perspective as to what they're struggling with. Is it, you know, are they directly struggling with their carer's role because they have got their own health issues? You know, we're supporting carers who have got cancer diagnosis, really complex situations. So it's really about understanding it from the carer's perspective first and foremost, really. And then looking at who's already involved, who needs to be involved. We can just sort of support through that process, really. I think it's important for carers to know that they're not alone, and that, you know, when we start sort of talking to them about other sort of scenarios, they can identify with that and, you know, make them feel not quite so isolated in being alone with the situation.
That's brilliant. Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay, so anything else you want to say? I reckon we've covered so much and I've learned so much as well. I love this. How many times have you done this, where it's in-person event?
We've done it for a few years at the Supported Head Programme, but we try to run them once a quarter, and we hold them in different areas in Cornwall each time. So we've had one at Callington, we've had one in Roche, we've had one in Marazine at Penzance, and the next one is in May the 31st at Carnan Downs Village Hall. What I would say is I'll just add now our email address, so if anybody would like to attend, just to email this email address, which is rcht.admiralnurse@nhs.net. And that's also if you'd like to make a referral or want to discuss a referral, that's probably the best way forward. And the telephone number is 07823 535 934.
Thank you. And we'll put all of that in the show notes as well. So everyone will be able to get in contact. And I will definitely be letting people know about the 31st of May in Carnan Downs. In fact, I'm going to the Carnan Downs Memory Cafe today. So if I meet people that I think would really benefit, I can let them know to reach out and contact you.
Yeah,
it'd
be lovely. Yeah, because we have to register those that are going to attend.
Absolutely.
Because obviously not breaching fire regulations and capacity and things like that.
Exactly. So we're not going to do a mass flash mob. No.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, I just hope that, you know, I think it's just, you know, for every carer who may be listening, or if you know a carer or you are a carer yourself, you know, it is okay to shout out and to ask for help. And, you know, we don't want you to be out there alone. So engage, not even if it's not even with our service, do talk to your GP and explain that you just need someone to talk to or you need some help.
And just to add on to that, not all carers identify themselves as being carers. So it's just part and parcel of what they do. And they fall into that role without really knowing that they are a carer. So it's just to make sure people are aware that it can be that they might not feel they're doing very much or involved in any great way. But, you know, it's important to identify who carers are, really.
Yeah,
that's amazing. Thank you. And what I'm getting is that nothing is too small, really. Is that it's better to reach out and feel like you're connected to something where support is there. For everybody in that role.
Some carers come to us and they only need a little bit of advice. They only need a little bit of signposting, a little bit of support, a one-off phone call. And other carers and family dynamics and situations are incredibly complex and they need to be with us for the duration. It's very, very diverse.
Wow. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Caroline, for your time.
Thank you, everybody, for listening.
It's been a real pleasure.
This video was produced by Discover Voices, part of Disability Cornwall and Isles of Scilly. To check out all of our content, simply search Discover Voices on YouTube.